And what I want to go on and talk about now is one of the other main strategies that I use for speaking with feminine power that really goes after centering yourself and connecting with your body. I am going to talk about the body later today. But this is probably one of the most important things and powerful things you can do before you speak, after you've centered yourself. It's really about connecting to your intention. And I'm pretty sure Estelle, in her email to me, told me that she did that. So I might actually just give the mic back to Estelle for a sec and just ask her about that. There you go, Estelle. Did you mention that you did something around intention before you spoke?
Yes, I did, because it's not all about me. I thought, well, what do I want for the audience? What do they want? And what do I want for myself so that there's a motivation for me as well? And that helped me to get really, really clear.
Excellent. Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. That's exactly what I was going to go on and say, and I'm glad that I called on Estelle because she's just modeled that for you. The two steps to setting an intention that are really, really powerful, one is setting an intention for your audience, and two is setting an intention for yourself. And these two intentions that you set will form the container for your speech or your conversation at the dinner table or your talk in front of hundreds of people. They will set the container for it so that everything that happens in that talk will fit within the container of your intention. But how it comes about, what order you speak in, what words you use, what exact points you cover, don't really matter so long as it all fits into the container so that at the end you can say, well, did I really fulfill my intention or didn't I? Rather than worrying about all the details of what you said, when you said it, the speech, the PowerPoint, and all of that. When we take the pressure off all of the content and just bring a really clear focus to our intention, it makes our speaking so much easier. And we're going to do a little exercise on this in a minute. So the first thing is setting your intention for your audience. And there's two questions that I would ask around this, and I think Estelle has asked these. The first question about your audience is, how do I want them to feel? How do I want my audience to feel when I speak, even if it's my husband at the dinner table or 1,000 people in an auditorium? So, for example, this morning, as I said, I spent some time preparing for this call, which I always do before I speak, and I spent much more time on this than I did on planning what we were going to do. And I really just sat there, and actually it doesn't take that much time, but I spent more of my energy on it. I sat there cross-legged and I really felt into, after I'd centered myself and connected to my spirit guides, and I thought, what is my intention for my audience? What is my intention for these 28 beautiful women listening live and listening on the recording? How do I want them to feel? I want them to feel inspired. I want them to feel that they believe in themselves. I want them to feel a sense of commitment to doing the processes that I'm offering them in this course. I want them to feel connected to each other. I want them to feel excited and hopeful about speaking, things like that. And I got really clear that that's my intention for my audience. What outcomes? The second question is, what outcome do I want for my audience in the highest good? So that's different to what outcome do I want for my audience, because you might say, oh, my outcome for this speech is to sell them all my widget. That's different to asking, what is my intention for my outcome for the audience in their highest good? So my intention, if I'm giving, say, a talk, a telecall in the lead up to a course or something, or a workshop I'm offering, I'm setting an intention for my audience in the highest good. So I'm not going to set an intention like, I want them all to sign up for my course. That may not be in their highest good. But when I really tune into what is in their highest good, I might come up with an intention like, I want everyone in my audience to really feel what I'm saying, to really understand what I'm saying, and to really have enough connection to their own heart that they can make a decision for themselves really clearly in that moment if my workshop is right for them, and if it is, my intention is that they sign up. So that's a very powerful and clear intention for my audience, but it's one that's made in their highest good rather than made from a sort of selfish motive that I want everyone to sign up whether it's good for them or not because I need money, which is the sort of intention that many speakers, especially people I know who are teaching selling from the stage, they get you to visualize all of your audience running to the front and signing all the contracts and buying. I don't think that's as powerful as, and for the women on this course who I know most of you are very spiritually aligned and connected to your higher guidance, it's much more powerful to connect to your intention for the audience in their highest good connect and feel into that and see what comes through you. And it might be surprising to you what comes through you as your intention for their highest good. It may not be that they buy your product at all. You might find that when you really feel into what is my intention for my audience, you might, in their highest good, you might realize that my intention is that they all rush home excitedly and give their partner a hug that night, because that's what I want them to take away from my talk. You know, so the two questions: how do I want my audience to feel, and what outcome do you want for them in their highest good? And when you come to speak and you have set that intention so clearly, the words that come out of your mouth when you speak, the order in which you say things, the amount of time you devote to things, the actual points and concepts that come out of your mouth will be so much more powerful than if you don't do that. Take the time to do that process. The second part of the process, is, as Estelle said, is looking at setting an intention for myself. And you ask the same two questions. One, how do I want to feel? What is my intention for how I want to feel when I do this talk, when I speak? So this morning I was sitting there thinking, God, I'm a bit tired, my body feels a bit stiff. So how do I want to feel when I speak? Well, I want to feel when I'm speaking, I want to feel happy, I want to feel free in my body, I want to feel awake, I want to feel connected to these beautiful women who are on the call. I want to feel really at ease, even if there are technical glitches, which there probably will be. I want to feel just comfortable and relaxed, whatever happens. People fall off the call, they don't, if my microphone is mute, if it's not. My intention is I feel very happy and calm. If I hadn't set that intention, I might have got really frazzled at the point when I was on mute and people were dropping off the call because they couldn't hear me. Second intention to set for myself is, what outcome do I want for myself in my highest good from speaking today? The outcome I want for myself is that I feel closer to the women on the call. I feel that I have a greater connection with them. I feel more confident about this material the next time I teach it because I've had a lovely experience today. Things like that. So we're going to do a process now where we're going to practice this double intention. What is my intention for my audience? How do I want them to feel? What outcome do I want them to have in the highest good? And secondly, what is my intention for myself? How do I want myself to feel? And what outcome do I want for myself in the highest good? And in actual fact, the setting of the intention will shape the content of what comes out of your mouth. So I knew that when we did the meditation this morning, which ended up being let the words drift into your heart, I've never done that meditation before. I've never even invented that meditation before. That meditation came out of my mouth purely spontaneously. I had no idea. And the reason that happened is I now have a great level of trust, because I lead a lot of meditations and I never ever plan them. I have a great deal of trust now in my power to set intentions. So the word that I wrote on my sheet, I'm just looking back for intention, was number 2, centering meditation to bring us into our hearts so we can listen from our hearts. That was my intention. It was very clear. I had no idea what we were going to do, but I just knew whatever we did, the intention was that we would all be able to listen from our hearts. And so I start speaking, I say, close your eyes, take a breath. I've still got no idea what I'm going to do to get you to listen from your hearts, but I have enough trust to know that I've set this intention, something will come out of my mouth, and it did. I was quite surprised. I was thinking, this is quite cool. I might have to try and remember this, but of course there's no point me trying to remember it. Because the next time I'm in this situation, a different meditation will come out of my mouth and it will be just as powerful and it will be appropriate for that audience in that moment of time. Now, that might seem to you to be an impossible aim, to have that level of trust where you could have absolutely no plan, and I'm not asking you to get to that point now in this 5 weeks. I'm just offering that to you as an example to show you that it is possible to get to that level of trust where you are so clear that your intention is so powerful that you know when you stand up to speak, what comes out of your mouth will fulfill that intention. And the irony is that it usually does. The time when we get into confusion and we stumble over words and we mix things up and we don't know what to say is when we're trying to speak from our head. And the more we try and interfere with the natural coming out of the words, the more we make things difficult. When we just say, forget about it, I don't have any notes, I'm just going to set an intention and speak, it's usually when the most perfect speech comes out of our mouth. So it's quite funny. So now we're going to do something to practice this. It's going to be a very light-hearted thing, nothing too serious. We're going to be in our same groups that you just were in. And I'm going to ask you to speak in the same order as you did before to make it easier. And what you're going to do is, the first person who speaks, I'm going to give you 1 minute. Oh, no, we'll say 30 seconds. 30 seconds to just quietly sit there by yourself and focus on your intention for a talk that you're about to give for 1 minute. It's a 1 minute talk. You don't know the topic yet. I haven't told you the topic yet. I'm not going to tell you the topic until the minute starts. So you're going to use that 30 seconds to focus on what is my intention for these three women or these two women who I'm about to be speaking to about whatever the topic is. How do I want them to feel? What outcome would I like from them? How would I like myself to feel? And what outcome would I like for myself from the highest good? And so then when I give you the topic, you will be so clear on your intention that it almost doesn't matter what the topic is. You'll see that the topic will form around the shape of your intention because your intention is the container. It doesn't have to be a funny speech or a clever speech. It doesn't have to be anything at all. It's purely just to practice this exercise. No one's judging you on this speech. It's just a little bit of fun. So I'm going to unmute you all from your groups now and ask the first person to step up. And I'm going to ask the first person to just sit for 30 seconds now and get clear on your intention for yourself and for your audience, and then when you hear the buzzer ring, it will be, I will tell you the topic and then you'll be able to speak. Okay, everybody, so we're going to bring that exercise to a close, and what I'm going to do is just ask for feedback on that process, and particularly from the group of four, because you guys haven't had a chance yet to discuss that with each other, whereas the others have had a few minutes to do that. So is there anyone from that group of four, Jeanette, Cherie, Leanne, Alice, who just wants to share with everyone anything you learned from that or anything that was interesting about just speaking with a little bit of trust for a minute just after having formed an intention without even knowing your topic? If there is, just press 1 on your phone and I'll give you a minute to speak. Okay, I'll give the mic to Leanne. Go for it, Leanne.
Hi, everyone. I really love that experience, and I can't wait to do some more. I really, really enjoyed it. It was wonderful. It was also wonderful for myself, but wonderful to listen to the other girls as well and to sort of feel and hear those little shifts that are starting to happen. I really, really enjoyed that. Thanks, girls.
Yeah, beautiful, Leanne. We are going to be doing lots more exercises in trust. I just want to start with a little one just to give a feeling of it. And then, Alice, I'll pass you the mic now.
Yes, thank you to the group. It was fascinating. I mean, I feel as though I'll never forget the images and the feelings that came up in such a short time. It was extraordinary. And it was so much about the images, and I felt like I was being transported into places and into experiences with my whole body, and that was very relaxing. It definitely had a different feel to it, both speaking and listening. That, yeah, very powerful.
Thank you, Sharon.
Eight.
Fantastic. Thank you, Alice. So I just wanted to give you a taste of the possibilities of what can happen when we get out of our head and we're not even focusing on the content. What's interesting is the content that comes through when we have a really clear intention, when we're really centered, when we're in our heart, which all of you are because we've done a lot of stuff already today to connect you to each other, to connect you to your audience. You're already in your heart because of the meditation we did. You're already pretty grounded, most of you, from what we've been doing. And now you've set your intention. It's to show that words will come through, and often very beautiful words that will take you by surprise, often amazing concepts, often amazing images. And it's just an absolute joy the more we start to speak from that place. So I just want to go into our next topic just a little bit, because I had originally said week two will be all about the body, but week one ended up being so much introduction that we didn't get to any of the intention stuff. So I just want to talk a little bit about the body, because instead of doing it in the main call, I will be sending you what we're going to do. I'm going to be sending it to you as an exercise. I think that will work out much better, actually, because it's going to be a body movement exploration, and you're going to do it. You can do it in your own time. It means you don't have to worry about speakerphones and all that. You'll be able to download it and then just play it on your iPod or listen to it through your computer speakers or a CD player. Lie down somewhere quietly and do the exercise. So what I'm going to do instead of doing the actual exercise with you now, as I said, I'll send that to you in the next day or so, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the use of the body in speaking. Because it's one of my main areas of passion. We're only going to touch on it in this course, but I will be doing other courses later in the year which will be really going into the body stuff very deeply, because it is my main area of expertise and it's just such a liberating thing to teach people. But I just want to talk about how when we speak, it's not just what comes out of our mouth that is important. What people want to feel when they see you speak or hear you speak, even on the phone, is they want to feel a congruency. They want to feel that everything is aligned. What you're saying, the words, the content, they want to feel that that's aligned with your body, with how you're moving, with the sound of your voice, with the quality of your voice, and with your emotional field and your whole energetic field. But the body part is a huge component of that. Especially when we're speaking in front of people and they can see us. But even over the phone, you can sense what I'm doing with my body, even though you can't see me. And I'll give you an example. I'm going to go into more my old body pattern. I'm going to slump a little bit and tighten my chest and tighten up my hips and walk. And you can probably feel that I'm no longer breathing and my voice probably sounds quite different. And I probably don't sound quite as peaceful and in my heart as I did. Whew, that was horrible. Just going to let that go. And now I'm walking around with my normal neutral body now. My hips are quite free again. My ribs are free again, so I can breathe. I'm walking really fluidly around the room. And even though I'm moving, and you might be able to hear me bumping up and down because I'm moving, or you might hear I'm breathing a bit faster because I'm walking now through my house quite fast, you can probably feel that my voice has a much more soothing quality to it. You believe me more. You want to engage more. Now, that effect is 1,000 times more evident when you can actually see the person. And in my workshops in Melbourne with women that I've been running, we actually get them to stand up in front of each other, and it's a very supportive space. They're in groups of 5 or 6, so it's very small. And they speak about their holiday or gardens or any topic. And we ask the other people not so much to listen to what they're saying, but to look at their body and to just notice how it makes them feel, what emotions they're picking up, what their body's conveying. And the women are all doing interesting things with their body. Some of them are hunching their shoulders, or their weight fall on one foot, or they're sort of almost taking off into the sky. Their feet aren't even on the ground at all, or they're bouncing up and down with nerves, or many people hold their hands in really fixed ways or don't let their shoulders move. Most people completely stop breathing. And all of those habits, and there's nothing wrong with them, everyone has them, you don't have to feel bad about it, but every single one of those habits has two consequences. One is it changes your voice. So it completely changes the sound of your voice, it changes how engaging your voice is, it changes how loudly you can project your voice, it changes the warmth and the love that can come through your voice. What it also does is it conveys a particular emotion to your audience. So it might convey defensiveness or tension or stress or anxiety or fear or disconnectedness or terror or just not quite comfortable. And even some of the most confident speakers who think they're really, really great speakers, who've done all the courses and who don't get nervous and who can speak for hours in front of people and are very funny, when you look at how they use their bodies, most of them are speaking with so much body tension and so many fixed habits of posture and body language that even though they seem very confident, something about them doesn't gel. And you watch them and go, yeah, yeah, he said great stuff, but I don't know if I want to do his course, or just something about it. And we've all had those experiences where we've seen really charismatic speakers, but we just don't quite trust them. And the reason for that isn't because they're distrustful people. They're very trustful people, but their body language is not congruent with what they're saying. So they're almost putting on an act of being so confident, but their body is showing us the truth. And all of us are very good at reading body language. We just don't know that we're reading it. It's all subliminal. And then when you see someone speak who's completely comfortable in their body, connected to themselves, and their body's really free, you don't have any of that there to undermine what they're saying. Their body completely reflects what they're saying. And so that's why I find it such a powerful thing to teach in our workshops that we do. I find it such a powerful thing to teach people how to free their body up, because then they can be more congruent. Also, I'm really a big believer in authentic movement. I think a lot of us have gone to public speaking courses, particularly NLP or stagecraft and things like that, where they teach you how to stand, where to stand on the stage, what to do with your arms. This particular arm gesture means inviting. This particular arm gesture means, you know, confronting. This particular arm gesture means this. And the problem is people bring their natural body postures and habits and limitations into all those gestures. So they're still holding their shoulders tensely, they're still tightening their belly, they're still keeping their hips stiff while they're doing all these gestures. So it doesn't actually solve the problem. And on top of that, it starts to become very manipulative and speaking from the outside in, because we're doing a particular gesture to get a particular effect, rather than what we're talking about in this course, which is speaking from the inside out, speaking from a feminine power, where you're not speaking to manipulate someone else into an outcome. You're speaking purely to express your own truth. And so when your body is free and you're connected to your body, when you stand up and speak, your arms will move in a way that reflects what's coming out of your mouth. Your arms will lift if you're passionate. Your arms will lower maybe if you're not passionate. You'll walk to the left when it feels right for you to walk to the left, because something is pulling you over there in how you're speaking. You'll walk to the right when your passions drive you over to the right. You'll lift your chest when it feels right to do that. You'll lower your chest when it feels right to do that. And when you see someone speak who's really connected to their body, it's so energizing to watch them speak, whether they're standing completely still like a tall tree or whether they're moving around like a dancer. It's a very, very different feeling to someone standing there and doing a specific gesture to get a specific outcome, and then standing on this part of the stage because this is the future, and standing on this part of the stage because this is the past, and they're trying to control the audience by where they're standing. And I know it's very controversial to say this because it's the basis of NLP in so many public speaking courses, but it makes my hair stand on end when I see people doing it, because I feel so manipulated, because I know enough to know what they're doing. And then I feel really stressed about everyone else in the audience who doesn't know what they're doing, who's being manipulated by standing in the present, standing in the past, holding hands this way, holding hands that way. I find the whole thing extremely unsettling. And I hadn't realized how much I found it unsettling until I started talking about speaking with feminine power, and I realized what it was that was unsettling me about that way of speaking, that it's really about manipulating people into an outcome. But it's really all that we're told is possible in terms of the body. So I'm really wanting to be an advocate for helping people realize there is another way to connect to your body when you speak. And so the exercise that I'm going to send you this week is a little bit of a taster of that. I could run a whole like 12-month course on it. I mean, I've got so much to teach people about the body, but I'm just going to give you a one-hour experience of what that's like. And I might do another one later in the course with you as well, so you can really feel that. And I just want to finish by saying how easy it is to speak when we're connected to our body. Because, as I said, when I first woke up this morning, I was a little bit stiff. And I know from experience, if I had gotten straight onto this call with you, that meditation would not have come out like that. I probably wouldn't have thought of something so beautiful. I probably would have got much more flustered when I was on mute and no one could hear me and people fell off the call. Just the whole thing, I would have been running late now, probably 20 minutes late. You know, I know from experience that when I speak and my chest is stiff or my hips are stiff and I'm not fully connected, I'm not fully free, things go wrong. And I have learned from hard experience of many years of having severe body pain and being quite crippled, and I'm very sensitive now around that. I've learned that if I do nothing else before I speak and all I did was take 5 or 10 minutes to free my body, the talk will go miles better than if I chose any single other thing. So for me, it's more important than centering myself. It's more important than connecting to spirit. It's more important than setting intention. That's just for me, because I'm very, very sensitive to how my body is because I've had years of being in pain. I don't expect that to be the case for other people, but I know that for other people it is extremely key. And most of us have never experienced what it's like to feel really free and connected in our body. And so as I offer you a couple of processes over the next few weeks, and down the track I'll invite you to do more work with me on that if you're interested, you'll start to feel how much easier life is and how you can trust yourself so much more when you've got that feeling of being free in your body, knowing that your breathing is free, and that it just changes physiologically your state of mind. When your ribs are free and your breathing is free, you just feel calmer and you feel that you can handle whatever's thrown at you. Whereas when your ribs are really tight, your body's really tense, and you're in all your old habits, it's actually quite hard to relax, even if our mind is telling us to relax, and even if we're doing emotional techniques to relax. If our body is not fully neutral and relaxed, it's actually really hard to relax. So that's why I get so passionate about this topic, because for me it's been the absolute key. And it's interesting that, you know, as children we were all very connected to our bodies. We were all very, we all moved with joy, and most of us, unless we had a serious condition as a child, had pretty authentic body movement. And the jump between that to where we're at now is pretty understandable. That there are many things that happen to us in our lives that get us to disconnect from our body. You know, some of you have heard me talk about this before. We sit on we're put on little chairs when we're children. We can't touch the floor because they're too big for us, and so we can't now sit in a way that's effortless. So we have to hold ourselves up with willpower, and you know, then we start growing breasts, and we get embarrassed, so we hunch over, and then we're carrying a big school bag on one side, and so we start to twist. And then we're trying to show everyone that we're confident, so we stick our chest out, even though we're underneath it, we're slumped because we're embarrassed about our breasts, but we're also sticking our chest out at the same time. You know, it just all compounds and compounds. And then many of us have gotten so far into our heads, and I was an example of this, that we've stopped even sensing our bodies. So many of us will sit at our computer and keep working, even though our body's creaking and groaning and getting sorer, because we have trained ourselves to turn off our body awareness, to actually ignore the signals that are coming. It's why we don't sleep even though we're tired. It's why we keep working even though when we're sore. We keep walking to try and burn that fat even though our joints are saying we've had enough, we need to rest. And we have trained ourselves over many, 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 many years to use our willpower to override our body. And in fact, our culture tells us no pain, no gain. Push through that. You know, keep going at all costs. We have been trained from such a young age to override our bodies. And I'm really, really passionate about this because it was what, and it resulted in me being crippled and all the clients who I work with in my Feldenkrais practice who have chronic pain have the same result. Other people, they don't end up with chronic pain, but they end up ill or exhausted, adrenal failure, feeling overwhelmed, you know, very common things that women feel. And women are particularly designed to sense our bodies. We are very embodied creatures. Our cycles are very embodied, you know, we bleed, it's very physical. We have hormonal swings. Men are sort of a bit more neutral, you know, they don't go up and down as much. Women are designed to tune in, to feel ourselves. And because our culture is so masculine, we've been told from such an early age to disconnect. And it's the same in speaking. So when we're speaking, when we're connected to our body and we're listening to our body and we're aware of our body, we speak with so much more congruency, so much more freedom, so much more power. So I just sort of got a bit carried away then because I get quite passionate about it. But I do want to let you know that it is possible to find your way back to that sense of connectedness with your body that you had as a child. When you were a child, you slept when you were tired. You sat down when you were tired. You ran around when you had energy. You totally listened to your body, which all children do. And it got sort of knocked out of you over the years. And in the work that you do with me, a little bit in this course, and if anyone wants to continue with the body stuff I'm going to be offering later in the year, you'll have a chance to really find your way back to natural movement, which is a total joy and will really help you with your speaking. So I'm going to be sending you an exercise this week, and this one is compulsory. It really is part of the course material. And it's going to be what's called an awareness through movement lesson, which is a type of lesson designed by someone called Moshe Feldenkrais, and I'm a trained Feldenkrais practitioner, and there's over 1,000 of these lessons. And I'm just going to pick one that will really free your body in a really powerful way for speaking, and in a surprising way. And so you're going to be moving around. Most of the exercise you're going to be doing lying on the floor, so it would be really helpful if you have a place in your house where you could put down a mat or a couple of blankets so it's quite hard, but not too hard. So I'd rather you didn't do it lying in bed. So you've got a bit of serum. Floor, even a couple of yoga mats would be fine. Maybe fold up a towel and put it under your head. And the first part of the lesson and the last part are going to be almost like a little test exercise that you can compare at the beginning and the end. And they're going to be a test of how it feels to stand in a very large space and speak and project your voice. So I would encourage those of you who live with a partner or family member to ask someone to help you to stand on the other end of a very large room and see what it's like to talk to them for 30 seconds and see if they can hear you, and do whatever you can to project your voice as loud as you can and notice how that feels. I'll talk you through this in the exercise, and then at the end you'll do the same thing. You call your husband over or your daughter over and say, hey, can I just borrow you for another 30 seconds? I want to try that again and see if it's any different. Those of you who don't have someone to ask, don't worry. Just find a big room in your house and imagine someone on the other end and speak as loud as you can, or go out into a park or a forest or somewhere where you'd be by yourself and speak as loud as you can without shouting, and notice how it feels in your body. And then you'll do the exercise, and then you'll do that again, and you'll probably see a big difference. So just want to talk you through that a little bit so you have an idea of what's coming, and that is a really compulsory part of the course, because connecting to our body and noticing how much our body can affect our speaking and our voice is really, really crucial to learning to speak with feminine power, which is what we're learning. So I just wanted to wrap up with that and just say we've only got a few minutes left, so I just want to do a couple of housekeeping things and then I'll throw the lines open for any final comments about the body stuff or anything else we've done today. So I just want to talk about, the Facebook group. Thank you so much, those of you who joined that. It's gorgeous. There's probably about 16 of you have joined that. The rest of you who haven't, don't worry if you haven't, but if you would like to participate, just add me as a friend on Facebook and I'll invite you to the group. And what's nice about it is there's a group wall and people are writing stuff to each other and introducing themselves. But also, some of you may not have noticed, there's a tab you can click on called, I think it's called Discussions or Discussion Forum. And there you can actually start a topic and people can respond to that particular topic. So Estelle maybe could do her talk and say, just want to let you all know, I spoke this week. You know, has anyone else had a chance to practice? What did you find? Or something. Then people could all reply to that post. So it's just another way of communicating with each other around a particular topic. So just want to let you know about that. If there's anyone who does not know how to use Facebook or hasn't got a Facebook profile, just let me know and I can help you set one up. Even if you just have it for the next month and then you get rid of it again. It's no big deal. You could even have a fake name. It doesn't matter. It would just be nice. Just a nice way to connect and stay in touch with everyone. I also wanted to mention that when I advertised this course as one of the bonus things that you're going to get from the course, I did say that I'd be happy to offer all of you half price on a 30-minute coaching call about your speaking. So if anyone would like to take me up on that. My coaching calls usually go for 90 minutes and they're pretty expensive, about $300. So a half-hour call I would usually charge $100, but I'm happy to do it for half price for any of you, so it would only be $50. And we can get quite really specific on what your issues are with speaking or any of the stuff we're doing on the course that you feel you need a bit of assistance on or would like to go into privately more deeply. I'd love to offer that to all of you because I did promise it and I forgot to mention it last week, so it doesn't have to be now but at any time during the course. I also wanted to just remind you guys that we are having follow-up calls on Sunday nights. Those of you listening on the recording, I hope you will be able to join us. It's Sunday night in Australia and New Zealand. It's Sunday morning in Northern Hemisphere, Europe and the United States. United States, it's the middle of the night, so you might still be asleep. But those of you in the UK and Europe, it will be in the morning. So I really look forward to you all joining that. And those of you who are on this call live, you're always welcome to join in the follow-up calls. Some people did that last week. It's a really nice chance to meet different people. We'll be doing some of these processes. It's basically designed so that the processes you did in the small groups, which they can't really do listening on the recording, people will get a chance to do those specifically. And so if you want a chance to do any of those again, come into the follow-up call. So I'm just going to throw the lines open now, and if anyone would like to share anything about that stuff about the body or about anything we've done today, Just pop your hand up, press 1 on your phone, and I'll hand you the mic. Alice, I hand you the mic.
Well, I counted to 5 before I pressed 1 to give somebody else a chance. I got an aha, Tani, when you were talking about the connecting with your body when you speak, and realized that that's what I need for when I write. I've been having such trouble, and I'm realizing from this that expressing through writing is exactly the same. And so I'm going to do more exercise and apply it to when I write, and write in a way. I love that feeling of that short talk we did, and I want to write that way as well as speak.
Yeah, beautiful. And that's really interesting because my Feldenkrais trainer, who's one of my heroes in the whole world, he's a man from America called Alan Questel. He's written a book called Creating Creativity. And the whole way through the book, and I edited the book for him because I love writing and I wanted to help him edit it because I knew it was so important to get it out there. He offers processes throughout the whole book, every single chapter based on Feldenkrais awareness through movement lessons, to free people's body up so that then they can access their creativity. And I have definitely noticed...
Send me the name of that. That'd be great.
Yeah, I don't know if he's actually published it yet, but I'll find out from him. But in any case, all the stuff I'll be doing will be about that. But I really noticed in my Feldenkrais training that over the 4 years, my writing, I've always loved to write, but my writing really freed up, and it's definitely because of freeing up the body, so that's a really great point. So I'm going to pass the mic now to Maujean. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I really love the Feldenkrais work. You know, I one time a lady was taking classes, and so I got to be her guinea pig, and I could always tell the difference afterwards. And, you know, I read his books about how we could, somebody can say something to us when we're 3 years old, and then we're still holding it at 60 years old in our body because we developed this habit, you know, in that moment of doing it. So I really, really can't understand how this would change our life. I just learned about Annette Benio's work a couple months ago, which is all based on Feldenkrais.
Mm.
And I was so excited because I couldn't afford to go have sessions that I can watch her DVDs and do them on the floor. That's what I'm doing. I feel so much. You just lay there and do these simple movements. I'm sure whichever one you gave us, you know, it's not like exercise at all.
No.
And then you just feel like totally, like your arm just goes up in the air and you go, oh my God, it's just like, it's amazing how such tiny movements for people who have never done it can make you so loose. And I can just see how it could help us with speaking. I never connected the two, but I'm really excited whatever you're going to send us.
Yeah, that's great, Maujean. I love it. I mean, when I was suffering from chronic pain, I used to do a different lesson every day. I just found them everywhere I could on the internet and bought them and downloaded them. It is powerful stuff. So I'm really glad you found it.
It's not exercise, you know. Turn your head to the right, turn it back. Okay, now turn it again. Now lift your arm up and turn your head, you know. And you don't know if somebody who hasn't done it, you know, you're just following along, you know, and she says, okay, now remember how you felt before, now feel it now. You know, and you're like, you're looking all the way in the back of your body, and you go, how did that do that?
Yeah, it's very clever stuff. Yeah,
it
great.
I think it's clever. I don't know, you know, how he, like, developed it all, but I like that it's so effective, and it doesn't, anybody can do it. You know, you don't have to do some exercises or, you know, that are stretching and strenuous and, That's what I love about it.
Yeah, great. I'm so happy that you already know what we're doing. And for those of you who haven't yet had a chance to experience it, it's incredibly subtle, gentle work. And the man was a genius who invented these. And he just works very cleverly with your brain. And by the end of the session, by the end of the hour, or whether it's one-on-one with someone or listening to a CD, you really don't recognize yourself. And it's powerful. It's because it's working with our deepest patterns. So thanks for sharing that, Maujean. It's really inspiring. It's inspiring me as well. I might get on the floor and do a lesson after this. So I'm going to pass the microphone to Katrina just before we finish. She's got her hand up. Hello. Katrina, are you still there? Oh, hang on. Katrina, sorry, there you go.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. The author you just mentioned, I didn't catch his name.
The author of that book? His name is Alan Questel. I'm not sure if he's published it yet, but I'm going to email him and ask him. But, yeah, it's a fantastic book.
Okay, and the processes you guys were just talking about, I really didn't catch all that. What Maureen was just speaking of, was that?
Yeah, that's the Feldenkrais method. It's the exercise I'm going to send you will be a Feldenkrais
movement. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Most of the stuff I do with the body is based on that method.
Gotcha. What Estelle was saying was I really resonated with that because I was thinking about how effective the exercises we learned last call were in my writing. You know, it requires the same kind of grounding and centering and connecting, you know, and that was really, I didn't raise my hand at first, but that's what I was thinking, and then she raised her hand and she said it, but there's a lot of that going on, but I'm really excited about it all. I'm doing the exercise that we just did with our small group. I found myself in the same battle. It's like women that I just met that I felt an instant connection with and was able to speak easily and freely with, and I was put on the spot. I just went into this battle between my heart and my head. But I'm seeing how, you know, it's just going to take some work. That muscle has been built up. I've been doing that so it's going to take these exercises, and I see the effectiveness of them, you know, to just consistently do them, to rewire. To rewire, that I can, you know.
That's a really good point. I'm glad Katrina raised that. I just want to say that to everyone. Everything that I work with in all my work, whether it's to do with speaking or body or spirituality, it's all about rewiring patterns. That's all it is. That's what most personal growth work is, rewiring patterns. And it's all one thing to talk about it, but it's in the actual experiential processes that we have a chance to experience something new. And when we experience something new, it's like our nervous system has now experienced a new possibility. You know, so we have the old possibility and now we have an inkling of a new possibility. And how I like to think of it, when I talk with my clients with pain, I talk about this metaphor of a forest, and I'm just going to finish with this because we're just at the end of our time. I just want to finish with this metaphor because it's just come into my head and it's a really powerful one. If you think about a forest, and there's some pathways in that forest that are really well trodden. They're basically freeways. We've been doing them like that. We've been doing the same thing over and over and over, and we've sort of tread a path in that forest so many times that it's become a freeway. And then we might try something new, a completely new habit we've never done. And you can think of that as walking down the forest, and you look at the grass, and it's just been slightly pressed. Like, it's not even a path. It's just, you could tell someone's walked on it. The grass is a little bit flattened in that area compared to the surrounding area. And then that person walks down that path again, and now, you know, you can see there's a bit of a path starting to emerge. And then you walk down the path again, and then now it really is like a path. You know, the grass is gone. There's a real dirt path there. And then as they go down that path more and more, it then becomes paved, and then it becomes a road, and then eventually it becomes a highway. And as the old pathways that we used to use get used less and less, they start to get a bit overgrown, and eventually they almost look like the rest of the forest, but there's just a hint of a sign that there was once a pathway there. And it's the same with the neuroplasticity of our nervous system. We have all these habits we've done for years, you know, and they've become highways. And then we start to do something new, and we exercise a new muscle, and we start to tread a little bit of a new path and a new part of the forest that we've never been down before. Initially, the old habit is still pretty strong, and the new one's a little bit light, and then that eventually becomes our default, and the old one fades away. But it's always still there in our nervous system. Every path we've ever trodden is always still there. It's just that some of them become our default, and some of them become occasional habits. And so I just really want to say that with all the stuff we're doing, be very gentle with yourself. You know, some of these things, it's the first time you've ever done this, and you're going to come up against your old habits all the time. And just to know that's normal, that's natural, you've done it that way your whole life, it will feel really familiar. The new thing might feel strange, but you've now had an experience of it. That path has now started to form in the forest. It actually is there physically. There's a little bit of a trail starting to form, and eventually it will become a highway. And just to trust that process that we're all in, and it's an unfolding process that we're all in. So I just really want to thank Katrina for bringing up that point. I'm going to close the call now because we are over time, and just say a big thank you to everyone. I'm going to unmute you all so you can all say goodbye to each other, and I'll see some of you on the follow-up call. So you're all unmuted now so you can say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, goddesses.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.